Louise Tardif. This is the second time
that
you came to visit me on this podcast, and I am so excited that we get to record another episode together. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like everybody liked my voice so much last time that I wanted to
People actually did text me to tell me that you have a lovely voice. That has happened. I remember, right? So
it's very
honestly
flattering.
We should have you on more often because apparently my voice isn't enough to pull listeners.
You need my deep, gravelly voice.
Luckily, there is another podcast out there with our voices that we will talk about after the show.
You can hear me talk for hours and hours and hours.
People get so many chances to enjoy your voice. It's awesome. I'm so glad that you're finally in the public eye.
The public ear.
Louise, last time you've been here, you were the official pole dancer of Buckingham Palace. And we had a lovely talk and interview about your job there and your experiences.
Much has changed at Buckingham Palace since.
That is true. And not only that,
I got fired. Sorry.
That's canon now. Not only that, today you're going to be somebody completely different. This is an improv comedy podcast for the listeners who are here for the first time. I invite guests who will portray a character that I've written beforehand, and I will introduce them. And from that point on, everything is improvised, and we'll have an interview in a late night show setting where anything can happen. And
anything.
This is anything. This is really exciting. And if you don't have any further questions, Louise, then I would say that we could get started.
Let's go for it.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Spotlight After Hour, the late night show in which we talk to people who usually do not get the spotlight they deserve. But today we get another chance to interview a person with a very unique job, very unique characteristics, values. That's the point of Spotlight After Hour, looking at people who usually are not looked at, people who should be celebrities, but for some reason aren't yet. And for tonight, I found another person that fits right in. She recently rose to fame with her YouTube channel for unlucky individuals, reading their palms and predicting what unfortunate events will happen to them next. Better Luck Next Time gained millions of subscribers and took the world of divination and fortune-telling by storm. And although not all her predictions necessarily come true or are interpreted correctly, the rising popularity of her content does not seem to hold anytime soon. YouTube ads targeted towards people whose life is going to take a not much appreciated turn, one-on-one sessions with people who think they just have a cold, even catastrophic weather forecasts for regions all around the globe, bad luck is a lucrative business that's easily monetized. Miss Fortune Teller, her pseudonym, has recently published her autobiography, discussing in depth how knowing about the bad events the future holds affected her life since early childhood. What's it like to know your own misfortune? To always know the worst possible outcome? How do you overcome the crippling anxiety that might come with it? Why is it so difficult to focus on the possible fortune that lies ahead? Today, she will reveal it all. Please, give it up for Miss Fortune Teller. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
So, I was too scared to ask you, but will this be a good show or not?
Well, David, you know, I only reveal this kind of information with a certain price tag attached to it, so.
Okay, a businesswoman, I understand. The same goes for me, actually.
Really?
Yes, every listener in the audience had to pay good money to get in here because I promised them that you would, you know, predict a couple of misfortunes.
Oh, are we having audience interaction?
Possibly.
Interesting.
But at this point, I'm not sure if you might actually
be too expensive. I may already know this, but you know.
You are a famous misfortune teller. You also seem to be the only person who does this. There are a lot of fortune tellers, though. Mm. Why did you decide to go with misfortune as your main focus in your job?
To be honest with you, David, I didn't choose. It wasn't a decision. Mm. It was just what happened. You may have heard of fortune tellers and people with psychic abilities, you know, coming into their powers. So I talk about this in my autobiography, which is now available, by the way, in the most major book retailers.
Right. I did have a look at it already. I did buy it.
Did you?
And there was some, of course I did. I have to prepare for the show.
Doing your research, yes.
I have to do my research. Well, my team read it. And then they forgot to brief me, which you probably know because this is one of the misfortunes that you probably predicted. I did read your book in parts. One thing I noticed is that it does give you quite a negative outlook on life. Would you say you're happy at the moment?
I think that we probably have very different perceptions of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been exposed to negativity like very frequently throughout my life, but it's usually been other people's negativity. Now, how do you break bad news to somebody? You know, like that's what's very difficult. How do you tell somebody, yeah, your mother, she might pass away next month? You know, that's like very hard news to digest. Getting negative information about my life was always, if anything, made my life easier. What I predict doesn't necessarily happen because I'm giving the opportunity of people to change it. So mm-hmm. it might be, God, it's such a depressing topic, but your mother may yes. die. But you know, mm-hmm. maybe if she actually gets a diagnosis tomorrow, you could avoid that death. Right. Or you could delay it or et cetera. But you know, if she doesn't get that diagnosis because I didn't tell you about it, then...
I have a very specific question here, actually. If I really dislike my mother, and so it would be my personal fortune if she were diagnosed with something bad.
Right.
Would you still be able to see that future? Or would basically, does it depend on context?
Is it like the personal interpretation of what right. is negative? That's a really interesting question. So a lot of people may also argue that there is no such thing as, you know, truly anything negative or positive. It's just the associations we have with it. But I don't really control, again, I'm receiving messages and I'm interpreting them, right? So the messages are just coming. They just, over the years, have noticeably been the negative ones. It's not necessarily to do with the person. It's just to do with the sort of signals I receive.
Have people ever been confused by your name? Because your name is Miss Fortune Teller, right? I mean, I guess that's not your real name. However, it does sound a bit as if you were a fortune teller and that the Ms. is basically just...
Well, yeah, I am a fortune teller, but
okay, right.
It kind that of came about naturally by itself, the name. And then I thought it was kind of funny, so I kept it because I thought it worked.
Makes sense.
But
I mean, I feel like a lot of people bought the autobiography simply because of that thing that looks like a pun.
Yes, it's a good pun. It's a good marketing pun.
So, Miss Fortune, you remember how, or Miss Teller, actually. Anyway, you do remember how everybody here in the audience has paid some money to, you know, hear about their misfortune. Now, because we do not actually want to spend that money, because I know that each prediction costs a lot of money with you, I was thinking that maybe you could just randomly shout out a bad fortune that belongs to somebody in the audience. However, we won't tell the specific person that it's theirs. So everybody will be like, well, one of you guys.
I'm not sure how ethical that is, you know?
I mean, somebody likes it.
Wow. No, buddy, I don't think you want to know about that one. I'm sorry,
is it this one person who clapped?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
But does it? Yeah, I mean, it must be kind of depressing to know the horrible things that are going to happen to people.
No, I mean, I think I've learned over the years to like disassociate from like the really negative things that I've sort of relayed so much bad news at this point, like it's kind of all relative, which sounds, I am sure, very bad, but I need to have that clarity to deliver it. If I got really emotional over every, obviously I'm still very empathetic towards right. each person, but if I started feeling really awful for every single news I delivered, I mean, how do you think doctors do it? Same thing as doctors, like right. you have to build a tolerance True. To just like sort of delivering bad news. But obviously mine comes with a lot of more skepticism attached to it. And a lot of people have not enjoyed their fortunes and have actively, you know, I haven't really talked about this a lot, but I've had people like come to my house and, you know, sometimes it's very harmless. Like maybe they just throw things at the house, like tomatoes and that's, you know,
toilet paper. I mean,
yeah, like they might.
There's an entire chapter in your book about you your house being TP'd.
That's true. Yeah, some people take it really badly. And I have received death threats and I have received like people actively really like, I don't know, just not be able to handle the news, I guess.
But you knew about these things happening in advance, didn't you?
And not unless they were very serious, because I guess the universe doesn't care enough to tell me that my house is going to get tomatoed tonight. But
interesting, because in your book, I'm just saying that in your book, you mentioned that you did not buy toilet paper the night before you got TP'd because you knew you would get free toilet paper anyway. And that in a way, the misfortune turned into a fortune because you knew about it. And I found this chapter so interesting, which is why I kind of want to focus on that one.
I mean, so, sorry, what was the question? What do you want to know?
Basically, I feel like because of your misfortune telling abilities, you can turn some misfortunes into fortunes.
Into fortunes, okay.
Because this is one of the situations, obviously I can see how with tomatoes this wouldn't work because you can't really reuse thrown tomatoes. But with the toilet paper, it apparently has worked and it has made it into your book, right?
Yes. To be honest, there's not that many instances where things turn positively for me. I mean, I also have kind of tuned out to my own misfortunes. I find that I can sort of be selective about, like, again, you know, I can sort of pick someone out in the audience, and but it takes a lot of work. And so, you know, same thing for me, like my own misfortunes. I'm not gonna, I guess I would do it, I'd say, like, somewhat regularly, but it doesn't just come to me randomly. Like, I have to sit down and there's a whole sort of ritual involved.
What, like, is the equivalent to tarot cards in your profession?
Yeah, I use a lot of, like, scrying. You know, scrying, it's like sort of like divination. So there's a lot of different ways that I scry. It really depends on sort of what I feel like is the best for the moment.
I love how scry sounds like a fusion of screaming and crying.
That's an interesting way to put it. I never thought of it that way.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I use a lot of different divination tools that, you know, I can get into if you want to know more. But tarot cards is actually one of them. Although tarot cards is not negative by itself. Like, again, it's all about, the universe never delivers, like, specifically negative or positive. And most people who use tarot cards just deliver information, not necessarily positive or negative. Again, it's up to interpretation. But some, for some reason, the news I seem to get is just overwhelmingly negative.
For some reason, though, people love hearing about the bad misfortunes of other people.
Yeah, they do.
Which is why you are on so many TV channels, which is people love your YouTube channel. And I think nobody really wants to hear about how they are going to be miserable.
Yes.
But it's so fun to see you reveal the horrible news to other people and them, you know, breaking out in tears and stuff. I mean, this is something, you cannot really look away from it. Obviously, it seems highly unethical. It gives me a positive feeling because I always feel like, oh, wow, my problems really aren't that bad. Even in my most horrible nightmares, I would not imagine that scenario. That is another one of those situations where you turned your misfortune, which is always knowing what kind of horrible thing is going to happen, into a fortune.
David, you should have worked with my publisher to rename my book because I think that, you know, turning misfortune into fortune would have, or something along those lines, would have actually worked very well, now that you put it that way.
Well, thank you so much. I am available. You can hire me because I do not make that much money. And I mean, so obviously you wrote a very extensive autobiography already. I mean, I kind of stopped at chapter 379 because I got bored, to be very honest.
Fair enough. That's fair enough.
Because there were, like, three pages without any misfortunes being predicted. And at that point, you know, I'm like, well, I'm here for the misfortunes.
Right. Yeah.
No, I would be there. I would be available for the second book. And I think the reason why I relate to you so much is usually my guests are people that I have worked with previously and I've known them privately already. With you, it's different. I never dared to approach you or hire you.
Were you scared?
Because I was so scared, because I'm a very anxious person, as I always already told you, I'm an overthinker. And I feel like I always have bad outcomes in mind already.
Right.
And the only thing calming me down is the knowledge that there is no truth in that necessarily.
So wouldn't knowing the truth free you from your anxiety? Because if I told you exactly sort of what you can look, will not look forward to, right? I can tell you, like, this project will fail. Then you know that this project won't. I can't tell you which projects won't fail, but by knowing which ones do, then you won't have the anxiety because you'll know. The anxiety comes from not knowing.
You would be a really good business consultant, actually. That's another. I mean, you could just be like, this startup idea? Nope, 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 yes.
But the issue is that, you know, they're not all bad. Sometimes you need to go through really bad startup ideas to get to the good startup idea. So I can't really advise on, like, necessarily. Sometimes a bad startup is a fortune. This is the issue. It gets complicated. So the universe won't show it to me. I just won't see it because actually, like, it's necessary to happen.
But that's also good to know.
So,
but I guess it's not what we paid for, and it's not good for your YouTube channel, obviously, when you're like, nah.
Yeah, but I can tell them, like, that wedding, it's going to end in 5 months, you know? That's, like, the kind of information that, like, is
save the money.
It's an undeniable misfortune, unfortunately. I don't think anyone really wants their marriage to end, especially if they just got married. But that's the kind of thing that's going to come to me.
Misfortune. I am a big fan of your abilities. I'm not going to lie. It feels like you have anxiety, but a superpowered form of anxiety where you basically just know for sure.
So I think that's the awesome anti-definition of anxiety.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, possibly. I mean, it's not you're never unsure of the outcome. I like that. And I did, well, my team prepared a little game.
Oh, excellent.
Where we can test your abilities. Basically, we interviewed people that are here tonight in the audience and asked them about their personal life situations. And we just want to know, what advice is there? Mm-hmm. What is going to be the outcome? Mm-hmm. Or will there be in, well, misfortune? And we obviously do it so we can use it on our own YouTube channel because we know it gets clicks.
Excellent.
So we can use their misfortune for our fortune, which again, I think is the theme of tonight.
Let's go for it.
What is the most unfortunate outcome? What advice would you give? Scenario one, Mario just opened an English breakfast cafe in central Paris. He offers beans, toast, and plenty of sausages. In between the repetitive boulangeries and the buttery croissants, he hopes to have great success. What do you think about that business? It seems risky, but unique.
I'm so sorry, Mario, but coming from personal knowledge of myself being French and also the fact that I know... Mm-hmm. It's not going to work.
Teller.
It's not going to work. I'm so sorry. It's you know, like at its basis, I love an English breakfast. I would love to go to English breakfast in Paris, but I know French people and I can see it right now. It's not going to work out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and honestly, I also feel like Mario, the name kind of sounds Italian. I feel like you should get something from that culture, especially also tourists
in Paris.
They
love Italian food. Maybe you should switch business idea. Maybe forget the British cafe. Like think of something... Yeah.
But now I have a question because this came from, but does the universe also tell you what's going to happen if he does that? Like what
no.
the,
no? I can't see like an action that he hasn't thought of yet, do you know? Only like he's thought of this idea, he wants to do it. I can see that.
But he opened it already.
Oh, it's opened. Actually,
it has already opened.
Right.
And he will probably go bankrupt, I guess. But we'll see.
There's time to change the menu, Mario. It's time to change the menu.
I like it. That's good advice. Thank you. And Mario, hope you can go home tonight and it'll work. I hope that everything will work out great for you. All right, so there's another one. After a long night out, Miriam woke up with a light headache. She concluded that she has an aggressive brain tumor. How long does she have, I guess?
No, I'm not seeing anything. Miriam, probably fine. I think it was a brain tumor. I would see it immediately. I'm not seeing anything, so you're probably just...
So she's probably just anxious
I think you're hungover. So... Long and healthy life to you. I'm seeing other things,
Miriam.
But I can't tell you. I'm sorry.
I mean, I would hope that this helps Miriam to not worry
Miriam,
so much.
Miriam, if you would like a private consultation about the other things I'm seeing, especially related to, Robert, you can find my email. I'm sure David will give it out in the description.
There is a bit of an issue when it comes to, you know, the costs. But all the money you save on cancer treatment now, you can invest in Miss Fortune Teller's business.
Yes. Exactly.
All right. There's only one misfortune left for tonight. I hope the rest of the audience will reach out to you with their personal, issues. So a family of four is about to board a plane to their dream holiday destination. Since they're all on the same plane, a crash would eradicate the family name. How can they make sure not to be forgotten after they're gone? Wow. Okay. They are already quite, they're quite sure that they're going to crash.
Yeah,
do you know
I don't know
feeling?
Where this assumption is coming from. I mean, what is this final destination? I mean,
but honestly, I can kind of relate to that because when I bought a plane, that's the one thing I think about the entire time. I'm like, well, there's a good chance I'm not going to land. Although I feel like the chances are not that high. Have you ever predicted plane crashes?
I think only once. And the person didn't get on the plane. But you know, it's one of those things like an airline company would never listen to me because they just wouldn't believe it. But the person didn't get on the plane. And it was, yeah. It
but
did.
All the other 283
You know, thankfully,
went.
Like, no one died. It just had to make an emergency landing, and it was kind of a mess. But from what I heard anyways, that she emailed me later to thank me. But I wouldn't have wanted to get on that plane anyways, because it was, you know, it's kind of one of those situations where you don't know what's going to happen and quite stressful.
Right.
So... Thankfully, like I've never seen a plane crash. They're quite rare these days, anyways. And so, like,
yeah,
statistically,
this is a very unlikely scenario.
It's so unlikely. Statistically, no one has ever come to me where I've predicted a plane crash because they're so statistically low. But for this family of four, I would say honestly, like, make sure that when you are on your holiday, you will land at your destination. It's more that I would watch out for your pockets because you will lose your passports and your money and. Your phones, like there's a high chance that, I'm not exactly sure what, but there's a high chance you will be pickpocketed and it will ruin your holiday. So keep your valuables close to you.
I love the fact that you can give such good advice because you do know what kind of bad thing is going to happen to people.
I think over the years I've like tried to like learn that, okay, I can give really bad news, but like, can I give some advice at least with it? And you know, most people it's take it or leave it, but most people do take it, I think.
I am still curious. Do you remember Solo Club Guy? Yeah, you.
Oh my god.
I mean, we know that he had some bad destiny ahead of him, right? And I do am wondering. I am wondering what is it? Or at least, you know, how bad are we talking?
Decently bad. Let's just say that you may want to have a conversation with your wife when you get home. You can fix it. Out of respect for your marriage, I won't publicly say what is wrong, but whatever you're thinking that you've suspected is correct, and I wouldn't try and end it. I think your marriage will survive this, but do something about it now, because if you don't, it's going to be too late and then it won't be fixable. I hope you okay.
Oh, I see, that's a thank you. That's
same
a thank
enthusiasm.
You.
You're welcome.
Maybe it was his wife. She's here tonight. Well, I mean, I think one thing we really know now is that seeing misfortune isn't all that bad. I mean, there is, at this point, I feel like you're really calming people down. You can really help with anxiety because you can tell me that something I am scared of is not going to be true because you cannot see it come true. Or is there a lot of misfortune that you cannot see? Have you ever been surprised by a misfortune?
Oh, yeah. No, it happens a lot. I think that I can't see everything. That's the issue. And it's really sad because I think sometimes people see me and then something really dramatic happens to them. And I wasn't able to tell them about it and they feel very betrayed, but it's kind of part of, you know, unfortunately, I can't see everything. I don't know why, but it's sometimes you don't know how much something is going to affect you until it happens, right? So yeah, there's a lot of things I can't see.
Maybe there are also things that because we as a person do not know yet how this is going, how a thing like this would affect us. So it's not really defined yet if this is a misfortune.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about, like, usually, like, someone kind of has, sometimes it comes out of the blue for someone, but sometimes it's to do with something they've already been thinking about that would go into play if they went ahead with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's something they've already consciously thinking of.
I did notice that sometimes you do not have all the details, and so your predictions are a bit difficult to really work with, because I remember a couple of months ago you went viral because you published a tsunami warning for the city of Berlin, Germany, and obviously that seemed bizarre to people because there's no ocean. Where would the tsunami even come from?
No, but what happened?
And why specifically in Berlin? And then an aquarium burst open.
Yeah. So yeah, sometimes it does get mixed up. I said tsunami because that's what came to me. And I guess, like, you also have to do your own work to interpret it, you know?
Yeah, because you saw a flood and fishes. And all that came true. It was just in a very unexpected way. And there was no way to really prepare for it.
Yeah, sometimes I give news that no one can prepare for. It's quite sad. That's the worst news to give. That's the news I don't like. I love to give news where I can give advice because I can help somebody out of it. But sometimes the news is just like, this is going to happen and there's just nothing you can do about it. And again, this is what you sign up for. And I can't guarantee always giving you some good advice.
I mean, this one was really bizarre because you gave this prediction, like this misfortune, to an opera singer. And she was really confused about it. And I mean, it was her singing that broke the glass of the aquarium and, you know, caused all the chaos. So it all makes sense now in hindsight. But back then, it was basically impossible to understand. Even knowing the misfortune doesn't mean that you really, really know. So in that sense, there is still... Also, you still get some surprise in life. So I think that's great. It would be so weird if everything would be 100% predictable.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah, I'm not a machine. Like,
right, you're not ChatGPT.
I'm not ChatGPT. Like, things come to me and sometimes they don't. And sometimes they come to me in very strange forms. And I think the important thing to remember is that it's better to know and be able to prepare than not know and live in anxiety and fear, even if there's nothing you can do about it. Because even being able to mentally prepare yourself can actually help you face certain things.
Right. Interesting. You kind of got, because, you know, till now I didn't spend the money, but at this point I'm like, maybe this would help me, because I have a list of worst case scenarios in my head for everything I do in my life, and we should go through this once, but not now.
But it's one
not
of those things. It's like, you know, it's a deep philosophical question, like, should you know when you're gonna die? But I have to tell you, like, I can't see your death unless it's an accident.
Okay, but then can you see my death? That would be my question now. But actually, don't tell me.
Yeah, that's the thing. Do you really want to know?
Don't tell me.
No, but most people don't. And I have to be honest with you, most people, like, don't. Some people do ask for it. And we have a really long conversation. We have to have a conversation about it. This is why I charge a lot, by the way, because I have to give a lot of, like, like sort of like therapy with it.
Prep talk.
Like, not really therapy. I'm not a trained therapist. I'm not licensed, but I give, let's say, like coach. Philosophical advice with it, because I've, you know, done, like, had to read up a lot of philosophy because of this, and most people like don't want to know the and I usually advise them against it, because to be honest with you, like, I think preparing for death is something you should be doing regardless of when it's going to happen. So
that makes sense.
I actually think it's not necessarily the best to know when it's going to happen, because you know it's going to happen, right?
Right.
You seem a little bit
No, I'm so curious to know, but also I really don't want to know. It's I'm torn, and I pay a premium for
yeah. like death.
I mean, and those are the most watched videos on your YouTube channel, right? On Better Luck Next Time, where you predict deaths. And obviously this part, listen, you can deny it all you want, but I do see how you make some money with it. And what I like about those...
Why? This is so unethical. I would never do something like that. I don't know where you've seen these videos. I have never, ever... You must be misinformed. Maybe someone made some fake videos, like using an AI or like a deep fake.
Okay, you
but
know,
I
the
don't
problem
publish
is I see a
deaths.
Lot of I see a lot of your videos on TikTok, and then I see people playing Subway Surfers, and then there's music in the background, and then it's you predicting some misfortune.
Oh, those are those are fake. You know that, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought this is your kind
no,
of content.
No, they've made them with like sort of very famous people, sort of gaming, and yeah, it's not. These are not real. I never release like death predictions on. They're very private. They're very personal. Can you imagine publishing that kind of thing online?
I mean, I did think you were doing that, to be honest. But when I read your autobiography, I also felt like, wow, you're really denying a lot of things. But maybe I seem to have been a bit wrong about you. I'm sorry about that.
No worries. I'm glad I could come out and correct this publicly.
To be honest, I sometimes think of people as, you know, them putting their career above anything else, because maybe that's what I'm doing. Because I mean, I would do about anything unethical to make this show successful. And I
such
mean,
as spreading lies and misinformation
been,
on it.
Yes, and there have been a lot of corpses, literal corpses, that this studio is built on, right? So, well, literal corpses, I'm not going to deny it, but I'm also not going to say that this is, I personally never murdered someone. This is something I want to stress. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but maybe I killed a couple of careers, right? Because I want to be on the top. And so sometimes
it's
I apply
industry.
This mindset on other people.
It's a tough industry. Yeah, maybe you're projecting.
Media
a little
is horrible.
Bit.
Yeah, I'm projecting.
You got to think about it. Like the amount of like my calendar is booked for the next 6 months. I don't have a single availability for the next 6 months. Like I don't need
That's
to be
crazy.
Publishing really, really extreme content online. Like there's enough people who want to know about there, and it's been proved to be accurate enough that people want to know about, you know, their misfortunes.
Also, how would you monetize it even? Like, who would buy, like, who would want to have their commercial, their ad, be integrated in a death prediction?
Yeah, you know, the rules are so strict on YouTube. On YouTube and you know, TikTok they take down anything that's slightly controversial. So.
But also companies are just not interested. I mean, I don't want my car to be associated with this horrible car crash you're predicting.
Yeah, precisely.
But maybe the airbag that I'm selling, but not even that. Not even that.
Life insurance.
Oh, that is interesting. You could work with insurances. That would make a lot of sense. Oh, that is a great business idea. Okay, so let's just look at the business plan.
I can already tell you it wouldn't work. I've already thought about it.
Yeah, it doesn't work? Because
no,
I feel like it would be a lot of fun.
Trust me, I know which business plans. I don't know which ones succeed, but I know which ones fail. And insurance ones, they don't like it. They don't like knowing the future. The only reason that their business models work is because, in a way, they prey on the uncertainty of things that may or may not happen. Would you buy medical insurance to go on holiday if you knew you were not going to get sick?
Okay, now this makes a lot of sense, because this is a gamble, and they can only work because there is less misfortune than what people think there is. However, if they advertise their insurance in a video where one misfortune follows the other, I feel like they could work, but I see how it's a slippery slope. So, I mean, I can see that you thought this through. Also, you already know that this will not work.
I'm cheaper than insurance, by the way.
Okay. That is an interesting point too, right? Do you have a lot of American customers, U.S. American, who are
I
don't want health
insurance. I have customers from, like, literally all over the world.
Interesting.
All over the world. It's global. Sometimes I have to use translators because people, like, they'll want to use my services, but they don't want to, like...
But they can read your face when you're like, oh, no. shock.
Well, and every translator I get, you know, like, I make sure that they're, like, sort of empathetic, and they can also know how
that
to deliver
good,
news in a good tone, and, you know, like, yeah. I make sure like to sort of empathy check them.
Well, I am glad to hear that. I think this underscores again the point that you are actually a much more kind person than what we may have thought you are.
Yeah, well, everyone associates like the messenger, like, you know, they say don't shoot the messenger. Like, I'm not the cause of your misfortune. I'm just here to tell you about it. People who persecute me for telling misfortune, I mean, maybe you got to face your own fears in life. Like, maybe I'm revealing to you something that, you know, you can't confront. Maybe you know something is wrong in your life and it pisses you off to know that somebody out there could tell you exactly, or let's say like somewhat reasonably accurate what's going to happen. I don't know why you would try and take out your frustrations on me like that. I mean, I understand why people do it, but I wish they wouldn't, you know?
Don't shoot the messenger. You keep saying that you get that information from somewhere, like you, like something seems to be communicating with you. Does that mean that you feel connected to the universe, or do you believe in some sort of God that gives you that information? Is it the stars who do the work? Is it aliens?
David, you're asking me some, you know, this is kind of, I'm not sure if I can tell you this. I mean,
okay, so you would say this is a secret.
Well, not a secret per se. It's just more that I think people would not really believe me if I told them.
To be honest, that is something else. I do not feel comfortable with this topic, and I always feel like it can't be true. You know what I mean? Like, I always feel like this can't be true.
I mean, so far,
I like understanding it.
You've been very, I'd say, accepting. But I've noticed that you're usually sort of skeptic of psychics and of, you know, anything to do.
Yes, right. In our previous conversations, this
right,
has come
up. And you've said this whenever it's linked to, whenever it's monetized, that's when it bothers you. But you've said that whenever it's not monetized. So does it bother you that I monetize and I make a living from telling people their misfortunes? Does it bother you?
Well, I feel like it should only be okay if it is 100% solid truth and not
just... But I can't give 100% solid truth. And this is why I've said the whole podcast, you know, I've said like somewhat mostly accurate. Because again, sometimes I get it wrong. I get it wrong. It happens.
But if I were to now predict the fortune of people, I feel like the same would happen. I would sometimes get it right and sometimes get it wrong.
You wouldn't. It's so hyper-specific. How would you even know? You'd have to know that they're like, I don't know their life situation. So how on earth could I, you know, I'm not like getting sent in their autobiography or like, I'm not like stalking their LinkedIn before they come in. Like, it just comes to me like, you know, you're going to be fired next week. How on earth would you know this? Like,
okay,
like,
I admit that you do have me convinced a bit. The problem is, if you were to tell me a misfortune, I would not 100% believe you, but it would be added to the list of my anxiety. So like I would be highly perceptive of that thing, and I would be like, okay, will I slip on a banana?
So you wouldn't, if it did happen as I predicted it, would you then believe all of them? Or like,
honestly,
at least have a very open mind to them?
Honestly, if you can prove it to me, in like if I can experience it several times in a row, so I can be sure that it's not a...
How many times would it take, David?
Listen.
Is once not enough?
I think once would only be enough if it is the first one right away. If it's the second one that is right and the first one was wrong, then I don't know.
But how do you do it if I give you advice and then you take the advice and then it doesn't happen because you took my advice? You see? This is why I don't work well with skeptics. And this is why people who come to see me, like, I tell them, like, this is not going to work. Like, I'm not here to fight, you know, when my clients come to me, I'm not here to fight them. And this is why I don't defend myself online anymore. Because, you know, the people who want to know, they come to me. The people that believe, they believe. The people that don't, they don't.
Okay.
And that's fine. I don't need everybody to believe. But if you're going to seek, well, what's the point of coming and spending all this money if you're not going to believe it?
Okay, so I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't want to feed your ego here, but I do believe it in a way. Like, you have convinced me quite well. And I have a new question.
Sure.
Are you lonely? And I'm asking this because I feel like being with you, like in a relationship, must be quite exhausting. I can see that being quite, you know, difficult to be with someone. Also on your end, what's it like to know about all the bad things that are going to happen to your partner? Like, do you have love in your life?
I mean, it's no secret that I have been through 3 marriages.
Right. But you also knew that they were going to end, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I choose not to look.
Interesting.
You know, I said like I try and regularly sort of like have a reading of, but it's so exhausting. I'm already reading everybody else's sort of misfortunes. Like to read my own, sometimes I like not knowing. I know I've sold you on like why it's so important to know, but I think that it takes a lot of the fun out of a relationship. Sometimes a relationship is, you know, is doomed to end, but why should that mean that you shouldn't go through it anyways? It's kind of like those business ideas.
True.
It's also more
because
complicated.
You grow.
Yeah. It's sometimes I do deliberately choose to like not, if I can. Sometimes I can't control it, but most of the time I'd say like I can sort of block it out. You know, loneliness. I do have a lot of friends. Talking to people every day and sort of helping them through their misfortunes has, I guess, made me, you know, I get a lot of social interaction every day. It's a very, very like highly communicative, you know, job, life.
But there has been a recent scandal. I mean, not that recent. I think it was after your third marriage or your second.
I hope you wouldn't bring this up.
I mean, where your partner, you know, he came, like he was on the news and he came out on the fact that he said you ruined his life because... I don't know. I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot like that, but I mean, you basically told him when he's going to die, and because he wanted to plan the future with you, and you were like, oh, I mean, why would we even do that, right? So it's kind of, the truth slipped out of you in that sense. And obviously he, since then, I guess people are a bit more afraid of being with you because you didn't mean any wrong, and nobody, I don't think that anyone thinks that you meant any wrong. But the knowledge itself kind of ruined your relationship already. At this point, I mean, obviously we want to, he has died and it has happened as you predicted, but I still want to discuss the topic.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like it is one of my biggest regrets, I'd say. If I had any regrets, it would be that mistake I made. I was very angry and you know, as much as I like to have control over things, sometimes it gets too much and I think I was just very sad when I said it. I didn't, you know, I didn't know it was going to happen until like very, very far into the relationship. And then when I found out it was so hard to hold on to this, I didn't know what I was supposed to do with this information. I couldn't tell anybody because I didn't want anybody. I just didn't want to go back to him.
Right.
And then we had a fight and, you know, I wish he hadn't come out into the news and sort of publicly ousted me and sort of, I'm sorry that he felt so hurt that he felt like he had to do that. And sort of publicly shame me for it.
Ironically, this is also why he died, because the camera fell on him. Or I think it was the studio lights or something. And it's so interesting how the situation caused itself.
Yeah, it was a horrible... That's why I give advice, because usually like you can try and avoid this, but sometimes people knowing that something is going to happen to them, it's a bit of a Minority Report situation for those who have seen it. Can kind of cause, it's like a cause effect, like knowing the future can often cause it. And it's an unfortunate, I guess it's a kind of a risk that I take every time, because I'd
this
say
is the
90
Oedipus story, true, right? He tried to escape his destiny, and that's
exactly,
why he
exactly
walked
and
right
I'd
into
say
it.
Like 95% of the time this doesn't happen, but 5% of the time, unfortunately, it's one of those. But it's all to do with mindset. Like I think if you become obsessed with it and you pursue it, and I think this is what happened to him. He became obsessed with this idea that he was going to die, and it just led to his death. It was a really horrible, it's actually quite a traumatic event for me.
I guess I have one last secret to tell you, and I guess because that I feel like now we are at this point where I can, you know, talk about it.
Sure.
So basically anonymously, because I didn't want it to be publicly acknowledged and like for people to know, I did book you once because I did want to know about the future of this show, and because I was a bit worried that, you know, maybe, I mean, now it's super popular, right? It's being broadcast internationally. Everybody loves it. And people scream my name when I'm on the streets. And people are like, I mean, I just have to raise my hand. And you see, it happens all the time. So this is obviously my life. But still, you know, I'm worried about losing it. And I've told you, I'm an overthinker and I'm a bit anxious. So I wanted to know, what's the future of the show going to be? And, okay, I'm getting emotional. So you told me
Take your time.
How it's going to go up in flames. How I'm going to lose everything. How all my dark secrets are going to come out, and how a fan is going to stalk me and haunt me and ultimately kill me if I do not take action. Because you said this is so far in the future, at this point, there might still be hope for me to change something. And solo clap guy, I'm looking at you. It's you she was talking about. I did my research. And so we planned this out, because knowing the misfortune, I knew, okay, this is a situation I can work with. I have to invite you on the show, and I have to tell his wife about his obsession with me. And now she knows. Because she's here too, right?
Oh my god.
And while we were speaking, after you revealed it, I know, I saw it, she poisoned him. And he's about, well, to die.
Well, lady, that wasn't very smart doing it right now publicly. I'd say you should, well, you won't have time now, but you should have checked into like a facility.
Well, she probably didn't expect me to also just publicly announce it. No, but he has fallen asleep a long time ago. I mean, we just saw his wife use his hands to clap, to create the solo clap.
That's true. It was a bit strange.
Right. So
I think you should call the police.
I mean, I feel like, because I am so happy right now, because you, basically this whole thing saved my life. Because I came to you, I was able to save myself and this show. And I am eternally thankful for that.
And you will definitely get a lot of views on this one.
I will definitely get a lot of views on this one. I'm really sorry, but this is our time. I know right, that well, you will be standing at the exit of the studio, and people can pay you in cash, and then you will tell them about their misfortunes if they want.
If they so wish. Okay,
you're welcome,
seems like
guys.
People do
you're welcome,
wish.
Guys. People wish. People always wish. The band has started playing. This is the end of Spotlight After Hour. This was Miss Fortune Teller, a Miss Fortune Teller who has been completely, you know, who is a character that is so different to what I expected her to be like. And I'm really happy that we met. And you can be sure that I am eternally thankful for you saving my life tonight.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, David.
This was Spotlight After Hour. Louise, we're back. Welcome.
We're back.
The weird thing about my character is always that I'm not that different to myself, just with added layers and added history.
Yeah,
but
you were quite evil in this one.
Right. So I just decided to be evil David tonight.
This is something I struggle with. Like, I found it very hard. Like, I had to, usually I was agreeing with most of the things you were saying, but when you were talking about like me saying like revealing people's deaths on like YouTube, I just couldn't agree with it. It just felt really
but
wrong.
But I think we ended ourselves out of that situation. We found the culprit, the TikToks.
It was almost like a no and situation that worked better, because I felt like it gave it more life. I felt like if I just always almost agreed with what you were saying, then I would.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it was great.
It gave it conflict, you know?
I think you took the situation and you accepted the situation as it is, which is me saying these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decided that these are lies.
Mm.
But this is still yes ending because
I was still yes ending.
Because you didn't deny the fact that I said it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say these videos don't exist. Well, you basically said these videos must be fake, which is a bit different. And so we just went with that.
I think it was it was very different to like the last episode I did with you. It felt much more serious, I think.
And there was one moment where you couldn't stop laughing, and then we just waited for you to...
Yeah, but I don't know why. You said something so outrageous. I was like, I can't believe this. And I just started laughing. Like, I couldn't stop.
And this is all I would want this podcast to achieve, right? I think it's just funny to listen to a conversation that is entirely fictional, and it force funniness into it. But I don't think it will make anyone cry. However, it was quite a serious topic. And
it was a serious topic.
If people are interested in the topic, overthinking, anxiety.
And anxiety.
And also love Louise's voice.
And love
mine,
my voice.
There is another podcast that I would recommend. I'll give a shout out to, maybe you want to say it.
It's probably
nothing. We complete each other's sentences. It's probably nothing. A podcast on all podcasting platforms and YouTube. You actually can see us in this podcast. It's a video podcast. So on Spotify and YouTube, there's a video of it. And there you can get to know Louise and me as well more closely. Also, it's our actual selves.
We
not
recorded
characters.
An episode recently. Hopefully it will
in London,
be coming out.
Live.
In person. With a guest. And
exciting stuff. 20 gigabytes of data.
20 gigabytes, if you can believe it. And I've had good reviews from friends, but nonetheless, you know, they listened. They liked it. So maybe you'll like it too. Give it a try.
You will like it. If you have ever felt anxiety or overthought something, we call it the Overthinker Sanctuary. And we would just hope that the relatability of it gonna make you feel more comfortable with your own anxieties.
Yes.
Louise,
yes.
People are like, wow, Miss Fortune Teller was a great character. They want to follow you on social media. They want to know more about you.
You can follow me on Instagram. That's mostly where I'm active. At Lulu, that's L-O-U-L-O-U, _, and then my last name, Tardif, Tardif.
It's also linked in the show notes.
Yeah. because it's kind of hard to spell. People never get it. Like Tardif.
By the way, Louise's French heritage in this podcast was not made up.
Yes, no, I'm actually French. That's why my name is like that.
Yeah, I'm Digo Lucky. You can find me on Instagram and all other platforms because I am an addict. And
I limited my addiction to Instagram.
I would love it if you could rate this podcast on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts and on other platforms. If you would subscribe and if you liked it, come back, listen to the next episodes. Lots of funny characters and fun conversations and great.
If you don't, I predict misfortune in your
portraying
life.
Portraying those characters. And if not, we already know that something bad is going to happen to you.
You better listen to the next one.